Ricardo.
Oh, welcome everybody to a brand new edition of the Swift Kicks podcast. We're going to read you Ben's message now live.
Yeah, we will.
Ben let's just resend. Says, resend, question mark. Where you been? I'm going to reply, I did.
I'm going to reply.
Everybody. That wasn't as satisfying as I thought.
Yeah, it didn't crack as.
Yeah.
Tune in next episode for a better.
All right. For those listening, probably sounds a little better. Anyway, Ben will join shortly. I'm Alex. With me, as always, Steve. Nate's on, sauce duty, I think.
Yeah,
sauce. Something to that effect. He says he's at the sauce factory. What are you drinking?
Drinking Brew Detroit Cerveza Del Rey, Mexican-style lager.
Nice.
It's good. I like it a lot, actually.
Italian last week, Mexican this week. You get a full flavor profile.
Oh yeah, we're given. I figured we'll see how long this trend goes, but I'm gonna continue to try and feature Michigan beers just every episode.
Okay, all right. Is there like a Michigan Brewery Association we can get tagging along with us?
Sure, there's huge ones. There's Bell's. There's Founders. There's Shorts. There's an endless supply.
Yeah.
Okay. Fact check me, but I think that I don't know if it's like per capita or per square mile, whatever, but Michigan I think has the most breweries per capita something of all 50 states. It's something like that. I don't know if we're like the size of the state or the population of the state, but
I just Googled map and ranked the states with the most craft breweries in 2022.
I'm going to feel real silly if we're not even at the top.
You're top. Pretty high up there, but I think Colorado and Wyoming and Montana.
Wyoming, eh?
Yeah.
Are we top five?
So this map says craft breweries for every 100,000 21 plus adults in your state. Michigan has 5.41 craft breweries for every 100,000 adults, drinking adults. Wow. Maine has 14.16.
Whoa.
I think they're the highest I see. I'm going to share the map with the people.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with soccer, but let's do it.
We're getting there.
Yeah. Beer, soccer, it all goes hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
That's crazy. 14. That's insane.
That's a lot. Oh, Vermont. Look at this. 15.59 coming in.
Jeez.
Tiny Vermont.
I suppose I just made those numbers up about Michigan being top. I had heard that somewhere, but I probably just heard it through the grapevine. Wasn't even ever real.
Somebody at a bar.
Yeah, someone at a bar. Michigan bar.
Utah coming in a little light. 1.93. Alabama. Louisiana. Mississippi. Rough. Less than one.
So perhaps it doesn't even sound like we're top five.
Yeah, I wouldn't say top five, but definitely top 25.
Fuck, not even top 10 from what you can just
there's got to be an actual list here. States with the highest per capita: Vermont, Maine, Montana, Alaska, and Wyoming. Lowest per capita for craft breweries: Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Texas, and Utah.
Surprised that Texas. Am I surprised?
Here we go. This is an easier thing to the states with the most craft breweries in America. Michigan has 407. So the same amount as Texas, which is
that's ridiculous.
Kind of saying something.
Yeah, that's
Pennsylvania has quite a few at 531. California has 957.
Well, I wonder what Maine. Well, I guess Maine because it's per. You know.
Yeah, this one is just straight numbers, and then the other numbers. One we were looking at was per 100,000.
Is California number one then at 900 something?
Yeah. Yep, states with the highest number: California, Pennsylvania, New York, Washington, and Colorado.
No, that's not top five. All right, I apologize.
Ooh, here we go. List: Michigan, 407. Be really nice if this was actually.
What year is this? Is this 2022?
2022. So, Michigan's 15th, top 15.
Okay, that's quite a bit lower than I thought it was, but we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, top 30%.
Yeah, it's for like a bees. State with we have like 10 million people, I think, something like that.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fact check you on that. Michigan population.
It's like it's no more than 11.
10.03 million.
That was pretty damn close.
Yeah. You got to pump your numbers up, though. Ohio's got 11.7.
I think probably the closer you get to, like, the East Coast or, like, that hub of, like, New York and Philly and, you know, all them places. Yeah. But it's just probably just gets higher populations.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, so that was your Michigan yeah. beer podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Hope you enjoyed it. Cheers. And
Sue loved it.
Yeah. On to the footy.
All right, who are we playing in Pez?
We're playing Showboat City FC. My brother's on this team. We should nice. Wipe the floor with them. But I said that last time, and I think we lost or we tied, but it was not convincing at all.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting in these games how, like, when you have AI just playing AI on the highest difficulty level, how does the buildup in the goals, how do they happen? And Pez is huge into like target man, back to goal, turn quick,
yeah.
boom. That's what they do. That nice. Like that's instead of like FIFA, where FIFA you just run to the goal line and then pass it back to like the penalty box or top of the six and then just yeah. tap-ins.
But
I don't know. It's just interesting to see like AI how it does it. But
it's been watching Dennis Bergkamp, Peter Crouch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to think of other target men
strikers.
Let's see. Best target men strikers.
Was Shear?
Erling Haaland. Oh, a phone call from Ben Green.
Oh, that guy. We know that.
I'm going to resend it to you now. You're live on air. What's up? Ben says he doesn't want to be a part of the podcast. Okay. That's all I heard.
Wow. All right. Say less. Hey, say less, Ben.
Steve said say less. He physically can't say any less. All right. We'll figure this out. Technical difficulties. Please bear with us, listener. All right. Bye. Let's see.
While you tackle that, did you happen to see? So covering some great Scott action. Celtic had a semifinal. Actually, no. All of the FA Cup in Scotland happened this weekend. The semifinal ties. So as I've been saying for the last few episodes, it's Aberdeen versus Celtic, and then Hearts versus Rangers. Did you see the Celtic Aberdeen game by chance?
Yes, I saw Joe Hart miss a pen.
Joe Hart went from villain to hero real quick because then he saved yeah. the one.
Yeah.
It was kind of strange that he was taking a penalty. I thought like
yeah. Yeah, not the person I was watching, that you would expect to step up.
I was watching a stream, but the stream just went for like regular time.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as it went to extra time, the stream quit. And I then had to do like play-by-play updates on my phone. And then when I'd seen Joe Hart had missed a pen, I was like, why is he
right.
taking a penalty?
Yeah.
And but anyway, so it went to... From a neutral standpoint, I'd say it was a pretty riveting game. Goals being scored. Let me bring it up here. It was 3-3 was the final. And I think Celtic wins 4-3 on penalties to go through to the final. Rangers beats Hearts 2-0, I believe. Yep. So I also saw something that said that Celtic and Rangers, this is the first Scottish FA Cup final that have featured both Glaswegian teams in like, I don't know if it was like 28 years or It was like an unusual long time. I would have figured that those two teams would have made it to the final earlier than I'm going off of 2028. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
But let me pull it up here. So, Miofsky for Aberdeen scores in the second minute. We equalize through Kuhn in the 21st, then get another one through James Forrest, who just continues to score big goals whenever he really gets a chance, which isn't terribly often, but still does score. That brings it 2-1 to Celtic. And then Sokler scores in the 90th minute to make it 2-2 for Aberdeen and bring it to extra time. Matt O'Reilly scores to make it 3-2 in the at the 105th. And then McDonald for Aberdeen scores in the 119th minute to make it 3-3 to bring it to penalties. And I think the last few games that like the last Glasgow derby, this semi-final, I think that these have been really good adverts for Scottish football. Nerve-wracking is all hell. Don't like, but fun to see. And I think it adds to that with both Glaswegian teams being in the FA Cup final now, it's the league has gone a little bit more decidedly towards it's favoring Celtic now points wise, but it's surely not, you know, wrapped up. You know, there's another Glasgow derby, coming up, after the split. I think it's, I can't remember the date, but that's going to be a big decider. If it hasn't been decided to that point, that will be the decider for the league. And then the FA Cup final is, I think, like May 20th, 26th, something like that. So
25th.
So that is directly two trophies that are being decided, like pretty much decided then. So I think that's going to be pretty entertaining to watch.
Celtic Rangers play in the Prem on May 11th, and then that Scottish Cup final is May 25th. So within about 2 weeks, could be a good May.
Yeah, could be. Brother plays for their team, scored against us.
Terrible. Hello, Ben.
Oh, cheers.
Ben's all dressed in black.
This is navy blue.
Okay.
Just because you look like you're about to do a tour in the Middle East doesn't mean you cast a shade on me just as I log in.
I'm going downrange.
You should have heard his intro.
I'm in my Saudi fatigues.
Sup.
We're just talking about a great advert for Scottish football and the Scottish FA Cup semifinals. Celtic kind of pulling it out in the end on penalties against Aberdeen after almost, I wouldn't say shit in the bed, but they left it late to keep things together. Joe Hart missing a penalty and then saving a penalty to be the hero at the end of it all.
Calamity Joe.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have already touched on this, so I apologize. Is this like the worst choking of all time in football history of what Rangers have just somehow pulled off?
Dude, we haven't even got there yet, but it's unreal.
It's probably the worst undoing of a team I've ever seen. Like, what was the lead? Was there a 9-point lead at one point?
So Celtic had a 9-point lead, and then a bit of form, I'd say like maybe mid-January or perhaps like the beginning of February on. Results were not really going in our favor, and Rangers were starting to capitalize on that and kind of closing that gap. And then Rangers actually went ahead. I don't think anything more than perhaps 1 or 2 points, but did go ahead.
Oh, it was more than that.
I don't think so. They just had two. They had two games in hand. That was the scary part.
Okay.
They had two games in hand, which was just always in the back pocket. So when they went up a point or two, and then still had two more games to play than we did. That was like, how have we possibly just let this 9-point lead go this way now. And then those two games that they had to make up, Rangers, they lost one and then drew it, the second one. So out of those 6 points, got one. And I think the gap now sits at, with Celtic in first place, I believe it's at three or four points. I'm bringing it up.
Gotcha.
Excuse me. Now, yeah, we're at, so it's 3 points. So Celtic, after 33 games played, have 78 points and 54 goals scored. Rangers sit second on 33 with 75 points and 49 goals scored. I'm sorry. 49 goal difference and 54 goal difference. I apologize.
But yeah, it's a bit of a shocking story for Rangers. All they had to do is win one in the last two, right? And it dropped some significant points in both last
games. If they would have won both those, they'd have been, so 1-2, so they've been at 77 plus, they'd have been at 80. If my quick math is right, they'd have been at 80.
Quick math.
And if like Hearts won an additional five games, they would be in the mix too. There's no Hearts out there. Yeah.
Breaking my heart. That's my Scottish team.
Always a bronze.
Shankland. He had a hell of a season, but I don't know.
Where do you think he'll go after the season? Do you think he'll stay?
Is he? He's pretty old, right?
He's a bit older, yeah. But form is form. But you're right. You're right. He is like 33, 34. It could have just been like one of those one-off seasons where like the stars align and everything just kind of...
Yeah. Is he up for contract?
I don't have the answer for that. But we have technology.
Lawrence Shankland is 28 years old. So not as old as we thought.
Oh, whoa, not as old as I thought he was.
Yeah.
Contract. See.
He played for QPR, but then he's just bounced around Scotland for his whole career after that. I could see if like a
28, he's basically in his prime now,
a budding championship team.
Yeah.
That gets promoted, wants a striker. Let's look at the championship. Let's take a look at the old championship right now. Leicester City sitting on top, 91 points. So if like a Jamie Vardy retires, although there's indications he says he's playing, he has no
really
inclination to retire, but I don't know. He might get asked to. Leeds United, Patrick Bamford isn't going to do it in the Prem. We've seen that story play out. Ipswich Town down in third place now. That's a fall, speaking of. Although Leicester City, 91 points, Leeds, 90, Ipswich Town, 89. So pretty good. Southampton, West Brom, and Norwich.
Can you put the table up by chance?
The championship? Sure. Yeah, all right. Share the old screen, the old championship. Here we are.
Yeah, it's still quite tight.
Yeah.
They're all not so. Leeds have played one game more than the rest there.
Yeah.
Is it two go up?
Two automatic, and then three, four, five, and six go to a playoff.
Yep.
For the third spot.
Yep.
So Norwich on 72. Damn.
Hull City. Jesus. I'm pretty sure I played against Hull City. That's incredible. Uh-huh.
Harry Maguire. I think Harry Maguire came from Hull, didn't he?
Harry Maguire. Yeah, I think that might be right.
I'm going to just do some history while you guys chat about this.
Harry played for... Well, he was born in Sheffield. Yeah, he played for Hull. And then went out on loan to Wigan and was at Leicester before...
He didn't come from Hull, though. Or he didn't... That wasn't his first club, was it?
No, Sheffield United was.
Ah.
How do you go from Sheffield to Hull?
Where's Hull? Is that in the city?
Yeah, it's in Hull.
Where? Dundee Star Hull in England?
it's in East Riding in Yorkshire.
Okay.
There you go.
Now we're getting somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. towards northeastern. It's got the Humber Bridge. That's one of the big landmarks there. It goes across the Humber River, which leads into what some would say is more northern England. Might be a dividing line. It's pretty far north, though, to be honest. So the Humber Bridge is pretty far north. But yeah, that's where Hull is.
Nice.
Yeah. All humble right, beginnings Harry. For Harry. Speaking of Harry Maguire, we can get into the old FA Cup. He was the only one, at least on the video that I saw, to go congratulate the Coventry players after losing. But classy as ever, Harry Maguire going over and celebrating with his team afterwards. But there's also a video of that. Hoyland scored the winner. In the penalty shootout, he went to go celebrate with fans. Nobody, not one Manchester United player ran up to him to celebrate with him afterwards.
I thought you were going to say not one fan went down to like decide to celebrate. I was like, yo, that's bad.
Not one player. You want to talk about a bad team chemistry? I think that was on full display. And is it Anthony was the one that was holding his hands up to his ears, celebrating in the faces of the Coventry team. Congrats there. Like what? We were just looking at the championship table. Eighth place in the championship. You're fifth place in.
No offense, Premier League. Ben, but I wish they'd have won.
Yeah. When you're pissed at your own team, you get this weird thing where you're like kind of rooting against them because you hate the state of them. And like, I don't know, when I think I would have rather played Man City. It's more respectable to lose to Man City. Or who they play, Chelsea? Yeah. It would have been more respectful to lose to Chelsea or Man City than beat Coventry and PKs.
Yeah.
Right? It would have made sense.
And there's a huge discussion. I mean, Steve and I kind of touched on it before the show about a VAR decision, which we can get into, obviously, but more so after the fact, after this game. Ten Hag, he does have a point. They're the only, I don't know if the only team, but in a good recent time, it's a good accomplishment for a team to get to the FA Cup final 2 years in a row. But the manner in which they did it, I don't think there is, it just doesn't, every response to it seems sullen. Like, yeah, we made it, but.
They were up 3-0, weren't they?
Yeah, they blew a 3-0 lead.
Yep.
Nice.
It's classy.
Happens, but
not to Coventry.
Yeah.
No. Ten Hag is fired if they don't win the FA Cup. This dude wins the FA Cup, he's like the luckiest man in the world.
I'm just gonna say it here that Ian Wright and Alan Shearer have been listening to the Swift Kicks podcast because I believe Ben last week spoke about Mr. Ten Hag likely being fired at the end of the season anyway. They were blatantly on the BBC of all places talking about how Erik ten Hag is all but gone. A decision has been made, I think was one of the quotes from Shearer. They believe at least that he's not going to be there no matter what the result is of the FA Cup. They can't see a way forward of offering him more time at the club for next season. It's not the world we live in.
He's going out in the press talking about the injuries.
Yeah, he said, Ten Hag has said, I haven't been able to pick my top team in the last like 9 months.
Yeah.
Also another good point.
But I just don't know what they're going to do differently.
Yeah.
You're bringing Southgate to just shit the bed for 3 years.
Who was on the list that I saw? They were calling up
Southgate, Zidane.
Yeah, Zidane apparently says he would rather keep his options open for Man U over somebody else.
He just misunderstood the question. It was in English. and who's the other one? There was another one that I was like, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, there was a report today about them.
I don't want Southgate. On behalf of all of the shareholders, the option for Southgate is just ridiculous. Also has not won anything. Just throw that out there. Like, you also haven't done anything of notoriety. You took England to a final in Euros. Cheers. But you also didn't win. Zidane in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Every single time.
Tommy Tuchel. That was the other name. Just floated. Man United have made contact with Tuchel as he enters race with Southgate and Graham Potter. That was the headline.
Potter. That was a disaster. That's a disaster waiting to happen. No, I think the best thing Man United can do in their current scenario, genuinely, is hold on until January. Give the guy an off season, see what he does, see how the transfer market goes. You're probably not in Europe anyway at this point. You win the FA Cup, great. He's give him like the opportunity to actually take the team for more than like a season.
Yeah.
See what happens.
When was he appointed?
I don't know. He followed in the footsteps of not a coach.
Yeah, that's
Ralph Ragnick.
Yeah. Gosh, what a time. What a time that was.
Seriously. Seriously. I think I don't know if we tried to make it. I don't even remember where we stood, but
I was a staunch not advocate.
Yeah, I remember you called him a substitute teacher. I remember that. I don't think there was much positive, but I do think we tried to pretend like he was the coach.
I mean, he was.
Well, yeah, he was.
They gave him the name tag.
They called him a sporting director.
Well, they were like, it's Ish, coach and.
Yeah. Now he coaches Austria. Going to Euros.
That would be funny. But what's the difference between a sporting director and a coach? Who's in charge of the sport?
I'd love to know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Ten Hag came in 2022.
2022?
Yep.
So this is a season and a half?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's can him. Screw it.
Yeah, he came in
merry-go-round going.
Wow. Just tied it up.
August.
2nd of August. So he's at it. Is that a fair run at it? You know what, though? At least he brought in a bunch of like players that won't be able to be sold. So that's good, right? Mason Mount, he'll be around for whoever to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
What was the other guy's name? Doesn't have the heart.
Erickson.
Christian Erickson. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. He'll get benched by the next coach, too.
Fucking hell.
Hoyland is good. He just can't find.
He's not polished yet. He's not the final product. Yeah. I think it's too early to be too critical of that guy so far. That kid.
Yeah. He's not at his shot. You know what I mean? I think he. His day will come. It might be under a different coach, but I think ultimately it just. We're going to do the same thing with someone else. you know what I mean? Like we can't – United's issue is they can't offload the players they need to offload. Like Mason Greenwood is still a Manchester United employee. You know what I mean? They've not successfully done that. I would not be surprised to see United try to bring Mason Greenwood back, by the way. Dude's still pretty good at soccer, and they really have no morals or ethics. And yeah, I don't know. We haven't had a right midfield since Valencia.
Yeah.
Right. I think wide midfielders are just kind of a bit of a rarity these days.
No, I wouldn't say like a rarity. They're
wide midfielders have been converted to either like attacking fullbacks or like the agile, pacey, like wingers, like basically another.
Dude, Arsenal and Man City have 15 between the two of them. Like,
what? I don't think that they're.
They're not. They're not your typical box to box.
Saka is not like a wide midfielder. He's a winger. That's a difference there.
Yeah, I would argue that we haven't had a right winger either.
They play. But, it's like a 4-3-3. He's like one of those top three, and those top three are just like
roaming like three strikers.
Yeah. When I think of like a wide midfielder, I think of like a Beck. I think like maybe a modern day one is like a Mark Albrighton. Perhaps something like that. Like, is it like a wide midfielder just crossing the ball? Doesn't not much time on the ball, not going at people, just kind of get it wide, spread the field wide, get the hoof the ball back, you know, into danger zones.
We I'll turn that down. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. United, we're in deep water. Not looking good. out of nowhere, Chelsea about to take that sixth spot. like out of nowhere, Chelsea was like, "Hey guys, we figured something out. Something is clicking."
This does not take away from his footballing ability in the slightest. But Cole Palmer's an ugly son of a gun.
like Peter Crouch, like from Peter Crouch being a one, David Beckham being a 10, where does he fall?
I think he's below Peter Crouch.
Oh, he's resetting the bar.
Just face. Like, obviously, Peter Crouch is very tall and, like, you know, proportion.
His body.
You know?
His body is good.
Yeah. But, like, strictly face. Cole Palmer's got a strange one. Just his whole head shape. His head shape, his hairline, like, everything to me just looks like.
I was going to say, I thought he looked like Nate.
It's like if you were blind and I gave you molding clay and I described to you what a human like a human head looks like who's like maybe like 20 years old. And
that might be the most insulting thing anyone has ever said. Like in the history,
cheekbones like don't exist. They're like weird like pockets in his hair. His hair looks like not like it's spray painted on. I don't really know what's happening. His ears are an odd shape as well. I don't know. Sorry, Cole, if you listen.
Is it because he demands to take the PK?
Oh, no, I don't. I could give it. No, he's a great. He's
got the ears. I see what you're talking about. Yes,
it's just kind of like the. Maybe I just microanalyze this a bit too much, but the more you look at it, the more there's like stuff to like. You get. I feel like you start catching my drift the more you look at a photo. Anyway.
He's got a great personality.
Is he still 100% on pens?
To my knowledge.
Haven't seen him miss one.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, he's a stellar footballer. But
you define footballers' performance strictly based on penalties?
I mean, from the Chelsea matches that I will, like, tune into and kind of look at, like, post-match summaries and stuff like that, gets man of the match quite often. I mean, Chelsea doesn't have a whole lot of.
He's tied top goal scorer in the Prem.
Exactly. I mean, Pens.
I need to refresh that comment. I don't know what happened over the weekend in terms of goal scorers. So I will pull up those stats as we continue to talk. But he was tied last week as it stood at 20 goals a pop, him and Haaland.
But.
Yeah. As you look that up, the controversies of the weekend involving VAR once again, we have the Man U Coventry match that we were just talking about, and then Nottingham Forest have gone to war with the FA.
Oh yeah,
via Twitter. It's quite amazing for a club that got docked points this season to be straight coming back at the FA with pure fire. But anyway,
gloves were off.
Yeah. Somebody.
What happened?
Somebody was drunk tweeting and I don't know started a fire.
If you don't have it pulled up, Alex, I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, can you guys? And again, Cole Palmer is tied with Haaland as of this week. Ollie Watkins is in second place. Dominic Solanke is in fourth. Alexander Isak.
I have it right here on my phone. So it looks like, yeah. So here's the tweet that we are referencing right now.
Here, I'm gonna share it.
Okay.
Oh shoot! Here we go. So Nottingham Forest on April 21st. Three extremely poor decisions. Three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL, the union for the refs, that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFFC will now consider its options. So a couple things. What are Nottingham Forest's options?
And I see if you look at following tweets after this, so they have had two.
Is that true?
whether or not the guy was a Luton fan.
They look really dumb if that was not true. So I'm pretty sure they fact checked that before they.
But... So there has been some back and forth on this.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Between Mark Clattenburg and who was the other ref? Howard Webb. They said the VAR referee was Stuart Atwell. FA is now investigating, which we can get to. Hold on. There was a whole back and forth. Steve, fill in while I.
Yeah,
while I
sure. So ooh. afterwards, that was a day ago that tweet that he just read. And I've got one from 10 hours ago from Forrest. It says, Nottingham Forest has today submitted a formal request to the PGMOL to release into the public domain the audio recordings between officials during yesterday's match against Everton and at Goodison Park. The club has requested that this be shared for three key match incidents, which all included Ashley Young, which was just crazy. Ashley Young's challenge on Giovanni Reyna in the 24th minute, Ashley Young's handball in the 44th minute, and Ashley Young's challenge on Callum Hudson-Odoi in the 56th minute. We firmly advocate for the broader footballing community and supporters to have access to the audio and transcript for full transparency, ensuring the integrity of our sport is upheld.
Yeah, you know Ashley Young is sat somewhere like, shit. Like, damn it. God damn it. But also, like, really, who gave Danielle Reyna the keys to Nottingham Forest Twitter?
That's right. Like, that's funny.
Let's see who did that, right? This is clearly Gio Reyna's mom got a hold of Twitter for Nottingham Forest.
The last tweet and the most recent tweet, which was from, I believe, 7 hours ago, is a bit of a book. It's got chapters. Good Lord. Gosh, do I read the whole thing?
Go for it. I got it up.
All right. Following yesterday's match at Everton, and Nottingham Forest FC issued a statement highlighting our concern at the perception of the PGMOL appointment of VAR for the game. This was an issue we raised with PGMOL prior to the fixture because of the fear of the sideshow that would ensure if anything went wrong with officiating in the game. That fear has materialized as the correctness of three important decisions against the club have been called into doubt. This is not about individuals, but rather how the integrity of the game is seen.
Ashley Young complained. For sure, Ashley Young complained.
We know match officials do not allow outside factors to influence their decision-making and that all referees are required to declare their allegiances to PGMOL to avoid any perceived conflict or harm to the game's reputation for integrity. However, it is clear PGMOL must amend its rule on allegiances to account for contextual rivalries in the league table, not just local rivalries. This is currently not within the criteria, but should be. Mere reliance on match officials to recuse themselves if contextual rivalries exist invites conjecture, as some have recused themselves where others have not. Nottingham Forest FC stands by its request for greater transparency around PGMOL appointments to further protect the game's reputation as intended in PGMOL's existing approach to allegiances. Lastly, given the widespread and ongoing concerns, not merely of the fans, players, and managers of this club, but of many others and the pundits too, over VAR decisions throughout the season, any move which boosts confidence in the system should be properly considered. Sheesh.
Hey, what's PGMOL?
If I got to say that one more time.
What's PGMOL stand for? Also, bring back character caps on Twitter.
Professional Game Match Officials Board.
Yeah. I'll get on board with that. That sounds right. I get what they're saying about, so like if the current, we don't have obviously the verbatim of the rule from the PGMOL about allegiances, but if there are local rivalries, they will not have VARs included within that rivalry. But I understand what they're saying about contextual rivalry in the table. So
there's actually a little bit of information here from Sky Sports. That before every match round, there's a complex discussion held by the chief refereeing officer, Howard Webb, and other PGMOL officials to decide which officials will be appointed to each match. The selections are based in part around, quote, allegiance forms submitted by all referees and officials in which they disclose the teams they support and any others they have connections with. The forms submitted at the start of each season focus strictly on geography and rivalry. For example, an official who's a Birmingham City fan should never be allowed to referee Aston Villa. However, that official would be allowed to officiate a match involving West Brom because while there is a rivalry with Birmingham there, it is not deemed a strict conflict of interest. It's not explicit that Atwell, whom Forrest claim is a Luton fan, cannot officiate games involving other clubs involved in the relegation battle. That said, practical common sense decisions are applied wherever possible to avoid such clashes.
Sandro Tonali decided the VAR official on the weekend.
That whole thing about, like, take all of the adjectives out of that, out of, like, any sort of, like, what you just read. So, like, the complex conversations that are just, it's just conversations. They just had a brief conversation. They just had.
Right.
Yeah, they go, Stu, can you do the force match? Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I'll be VAR.
Like, we translate this in British English, if you will, as it's bollocks.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. It's way less to say. We don't need 500 characters and it's bollocks.
It's a free message exchange on WhatsApp and it's done. It's not a complex.
Yeah. I stand by my conspiracy theory here. Danielle Reyna took to the Twitter sphere on behalf of Nottingham Forest over the weekend.
The way that Mark Clattenburg comes into this is he was the one, I think he was hired not too long ago, or at least put on the books of Nottingham Forest, and he wrote in the Daily Mail that the three decisions against Nottingham Forest were a quote joke, and said that Nottingham Forest had been subjected to some egregious refereeing this season, writing that situations were precisely why video technology was brought into the Premier League, and yet Atwell did not send Taylor, the referee on the pitch, to his monitor. Not once, it was a hat trick of howlers from the refereeing team, and unfortunately for Forest, a continuation of an unjust trend that has hampered their survival fight.
So is the 96 purchases they did that got them a point deduction, but, like, you know, you know,
and Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher are very against this, by the way.
Yeah, I was I tuned into their responses to.
Did they call them like mob bosses or something? Was that Gary Neville?
I'm wishing I could recall it like verbatim, but they were saying it was very childish and like just
pub like.
Yeah, pub like they were like threatening.
Yeah.
You know, like they're looking at their options and this type of stuff, like just like coming out and just very threatening, like, and just very unprofessional. But yeah, public Sunday league, like, but I can get the frustration. And that's what they're saying too. Like, I get the frustration. We get the anger. We understand that. But to handle it in this way is just doesn't look good on Forrest. But my opinion, I mean, I don't know. You see three blatant offenses not being called in your favor. It just happened to be, it's just ironic that they all involve the same player. But like when you're really trying to scrap for every single point that you can possibly get, and if it's true that they did submit a request or like a thing about, hey, your VAR that you have appointed for this, there's kind of like a conflict of interest. You should maybe look at this. And they're like, no, it's fine. We're just going to keep going with it. And then it goes that way when there's three incidents that are just like blatantly just not going your way. I can understand some feelings.
So it gets better this evening. Nottingham Forest could reportedly now sue Sky Sports for what Gary Neville said, saying that they are like a mafia gang, making mafia gang-like statements.
Bro, not everybody, really funny, but that'd be the best thing to happen to
anybody. Can catch these hands. They're Forrest don't care. They're just going to anyone know.
Well, if they make money on that, that would probably put them out of regulations again with the Premier League's earnings statements.
Yeah,
so we'd probably not be able to win that.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey.
This season's been a bit of a.
At what point do we discuss the fact that who hurt Crystal Palace? like Crystal Palace are acting like they got a point to prove mid a little too late. Like,
they just beat, like, it was like 5-1, wasn't it?
5-2 this weekend against a moistless West Ham. And they put up some numbers the week before. He needs to be fired. I don't know what it's going to take.
I just thought Moiseless is funny.
Is it a double digits finish for West Ham to be like, hey, we should probably do something about him. He's asleep at the wheel. But they put up 9 goals in 2 games?
Potentially. Who's their new manager? Oliver Glasner. I think he's got Palace fans kind of walking on air right now.
Yeah, they've got a point to prove, and they're proving it for some reason at this point in the season. Chelsea will likely finish in the top 6. And my question before I have a life alert, Alex, is at what point are you guys ready to move on from Eddie Howe? Why would you guys say enough is enough?
I don't know. You seem to be skipping over the Haji Wright offside. You don't want to talk about Man U getting away with one. Why would Howe go? He's in essentially 5th place right now.
You're going to finish in 8th.
They're going to finish in 8th.
Yeah, you'll finish 8th place this season.
I think something like 16 points are still up for grabs.
Yeah.
Tottenham could mess up
all 16.
Spurs could easily mess up all 16.
United are going to do United things.
Man United are unpredictable. There's a good chance we could get into Europa League. The results of the Champions League severely hamper both Man U and Newcastle's attempt at getting a sneaky Champions League spot. I think we're all hoping for Aston Villa to win the Conference League now, to potentially give us that extra spot to the Prem for Champions League next season. But I don't see a reason why we would. It's definitely been a fall off in form from what we were last season. Obviously, I think now we see that was an overperformance.
Tonali screwed you guys.
So Tonali, AC Milan apparently knew something that we didn't. So good on them for pulling one over us. Have this conversation mid-season next year by Christmas. You know, if things aren't looking good, okay, have a legitimate conversation about where he's at. But for right now, I think he's doing fine, and he beat Sunderland this year, so.
You guys finish – how many places down the table you got to fall to be like, let's talk about it?
Well, I mean, if we finish 8th place, and then that immediately just puts them on the hot seat going into the next season.
That's not enough for you to be like, yo.
No, he's got to come out hot at the start of the next season and kind of put that all to bed, because it's going to be a summer of like just
– not like Cole Palmer hot.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's going to be like Cole Palmer's cheeks, non-existent, you know?
I'm not going to go any further with that. But yeah, I think Brighton and Chelsea are both in positions to, I mean, West Ham have 34 games played. Let me just say that. Brighton and Chelsea are not so much Brighton, but Chelsea's getting in form. And if Chelsea's game in hand, they win that, I believe they surpass, like, Chelsea get a W in this 32nd game, I believe they're gonna go straight to 6th place, which is wild. Like, how? We were just like, Todd Boehly doesn't even know what soccer is yet. Like, that's still going on.
Chelsea play Arsenal tomorrow, though, Tuesday.
Right, but like a W, that's my point. They got to win, but like they take 3 points all of a sudden.
They're going to take 3 points off the top of the table?
I didn't say that. If they take 3 points.
If.
I don't know. Chelsea's form right now is pretty good. Like, I wouldn't want to go against Chelsea right now. The Man City loss over the weekend probably helps a little bit, but they have been on a tear. Because they were in like 13th place.
Yeah, Chelsea 9th, 47 points. Yeah, they probably go 6 on goal difference if they won.
Yeah,
maybe
they need to win out. Like, don't get me wrong, they got to do a lot of good things. But keep scrolling down. Let's talk about West Ham. We got to go down further than that because this just makes me feel better. Right, a little bit higher. Yeah. So Brighton and Chelsea have 3 games on West Ham. Brighton have 2 games on West Ham. Wolves have a game. It's
yeah.
They in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Tight little mid table action.
I think it's funny that after Manchester United have that tough that less than convincing game against Coventry, that Jose Mourinho completely unprovoked just comes out and he's like, Manchester United, they still have players I don't want. They still have players now that I didn't want then.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
But I am the chosen one. So
I think he said something else.
Tell me you're not a Liverpool contender without telling me you're not a Liverpool contender.
Right. I think he also said something about in the future, the game will be played without goalkeepers. So maybe right.
Crazy Jose.
Yeah. All right. How'd you write?
Okay. We're doing this.
Let's do this before we do life alert.
All right.
I also had a new life alert that I need to figure out.
Bro, I've got our life alert. We're doing a doubleheader then.
No, I have a new life alert video, but I don't think I have it up. Anyway, the foot that you are looking at, and for listeners, I'm sorry, this is all you see is an ankle and a white boot, and over the toe in non-typical VAR fashion is a blue line that is humped over Aaron Wan-Bissaka's I believe right boot, literally over his toe, as close as possible as you can get. The red line almost overlapping the blue line is from Haji Wright's left foot. His manager has ribbed him, is now saying if he had to cut his toenails, he would have been onside and he would have scored a goal that would have been the winner. And Man U wouldn't have gone to penalties and they wouldn't have had the embarrassment of Antony dancing around in front of the Coventry players. But anyway, this goal, as pointed out by this particular person, Haji's big toe on Twitter, the line drawn over Aaron Wan-Bissaka's boot is well in front of Haji's. Also, the ball hasn't left O'Hare's boot, and next frame shows Wright is then half a yard onside as Aaron Wan-Bissaka is running and completes his stride. That's the hot take from people. There is this video that went around on the TikTok. It's a
hot take from Haji's big toe, which, yeah, you know, a little biased, but
yeah,
it's hot.
I just love that this involves a U.S. men's national team player, a striker who scored a goal in the World Cup, by the way.
And it's red, white, and blue.
I mean, it looks like a Russian flag for the VAR line.
It does a bit, but
It's clearly just like a blade of grass difference.
Yo,
there's
layers to this.
But
Russia's meddling with the
VAR. Yeah. But anyway,
watch
this social media video from a fan of Haji Wright's goal and tell me that you think he's offside.
Haji Wright scored. Have they won it? They have. The flag stays down and Coventry have won it in the 120th minute.
20th?
Oh. Anyway, so for those again of you listening, that was a fan video. It shows the ball being played to Haji Wright, and it's because of the angle that it's different, but it definitely looks like Haji Wright was well onside. But
that is the worst thing to happen to Coventry since the 40s.
What happened in the 40s?
I'll let you guys do your own history lesson there.
Are you comparing a bad VAR call to the Blitzkrieg?
Yes. Exactly what I'm comparing it to.
Okay.
Just throw that out there.
Too far? Yeah, maybe. Anyway, so that was the terrible decision that changed the lives of every Coventry player.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Hey, you know why that happened? It's because Man United, Man City is much more interesting to watch in a final than Coventry, Man City.
Is it though? Dude. I mean, there it looks like he's offsides.
Yeah, this one looks way more.
That's way more clear to me that he is. It is still marginal, but it's clear
who
to
cares?
See.
Who cares? Just get rid of it.
Get rid of VAR.
Let it be an art. Like, let it just be like a thing. Like, why do we need this?
Yeah. I mean, that's the most. I mean, it's pretty clear cut to me.
Yeah, that is offsides, by the way.
Yeah.
By his toe. Cut his toenails. He would have been good.
By half a foot. But
yeah, that's like half of his foot. But yeah.
Still. It does not make sense. Like, just
the ball is also like the ball is also kind of off the player's foot. Like, it's
yeah, that
like we can rewind that as a second.
We can get a 100 ways, right? But like,
for sure.
Who cares? Like, he shouldn't have been called offside. Like, VAR should just butt it out
for sure.
You know who would have been mad? Ten Hag.
Ten Hag would have been fired.
Yeah,
instantly,
all right,
instantly
done.
You know who?
Problem solved. cool. Sucks. Do better.
Do we quickly what do you call it?
Life alert.
Trash check?
Roll it. We'll move quick. Alex, you can play your new.
I don't have it, but I'm gonna just do old classic.
Yeah.
Fallen and I can't get up.
Fallen.
Again, a 40s throwback. Miss Miller's still on the floor.
Would someone get her up?
Nah. So today's life alert person of the week is no other than Mackie Mack. Mark Wahlberg. David Beckham has issued a lawsuit for $10 million against Mark Wahlberg for
some
shenanigans with shares that were, he basically feels ripped off by F45, the fitness franchise that Mark and Mark is a majority shareholder or co-owner of. And basically they let the stocks plummet and then transferred them over to David Beckham, essentially as an ambassador for the company. Beckham feels screwed and sued Mackie Mack.
Wow, is this
this is like fresh off the press? Issued it. They were friends. They're not friends anymore. It's some good drama, man.
I was about to ask. Is like, just because you sued somebody, does that mean you're not friends? But I was like, you're probably not.
You want to, Steve, if you sued me for $10 million, I'd probably stop talking.
Yeah, but like, we got to scale it back. You and I aren't millionaires. Wait, I sue you for $100?
Yeah, maybe 20. Like $20? Actually,
we'd still be friends.
It'd be good bands. It'd be
exactly.
You'd be in the court going back and forth. But yeah, but look,
they might be better friends. Like,
what are we doing? I'm not paying
your honor. Like, there's that. A pattern here of him describing people poorly. Did you hear what he said about Cole Palmer? Hates
ugly people. What am I supposed to do? Like, yeah. So today's person of the week, Mackie Mack. I hope Mark Wahlberg comes out with a diss track. That would be the best response.
Beckham diss track.
Yeah. And if you need a ghostwriter, Mark, I'm happy to do it.
Shout out to David Beckham for giving us a preview of a Spice Girls reunion as well for Victoria Beckham's birthday. Posted a little video, them all singing. It's like 1998 all over again. Anyway, Man U are in an FA Cup final. It's all the same. The world's all the same.
That's no trouble.
Well done.
Trash takes.
Right. Trash takes.
All right. Let's see.
Matt. Nate just texted me on the side. His trash take is Everton to beat Liverpool. He said he'd be happy about the result. Feels like Everton's a better squad.
All right. Starting midweek with Arsenal and Chelsea on Tuesday, I guess early week. Tuesday, a couple Tuesday
guys,
matches.
I went to show you guys my phone, but I accidentally hit delete. So it's the way it goes. But you can trust me.
All right. Sure. Arsenal and Chelsea starting Tuesday. We got a couple of matches on Tuesday, and then on the weekend as well. We got a plethora on Saturday and Sunday. A full slate, if you will. We'll do it all.
I'm going to kick us off. I'm going to have Man United losing to Burnley.
I was going to have Sheffield drawing against United.
You could do that too. We just absolutely dump on Man United. Cole Palmer gets no dates on Tinder, though.
Cole, Cole Palmer is power swiping, but to no avail.
I feel like he'd be all right. I'm just throwing this out there.
Who did you have?
Burnley.
He had Cole Palmer not getting likes on
wiping left.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I had. I don't feel confident about it, but I had Sheffield United drawing Manchester United.
Ooh. Okay. And I have
Palace versus Newcastle is kind of spicy.
Yeah.
Palace has scored 9 goals.
Fucking hell.
Dude, they've just been on a tear. It's nothing against you, Alex. You suck, but like unrelated.
Nottingham Forest beat City.
I actually was thinking Brighton.
Absolute stunner.
Dude, that'd be crazy.
Daniel Reyna.
What day is that?
Absolutely nuts.
What day would that be? Oh, I see it.
Forest Sunday.
Oh, dude, I want that to happen so badly.
All right, so we got Burnley over United, Sheffield to draw United, and Forest to beat City.
Never mind. I'll say if Forest draw City, that would be awesome, because then everything goes equal on points.
Cool.
Don't worry about it.
I'm gonna say Forest draw City. It's more realistic. Forest draw City. Ben has Burnley beating Man United. Nate has Everton beating Liverpool, and Steve has Sheffield drawing.
Well, there's an asterisk because Everton's the better squad. Was his exact words.
But you have to understand, I tried showing you on my phone, and then I hit delete.
I don't want to see that picture, Steve.
No, that's what you said.
So we get it, dude. Like eggplant emoji.
Right. And another episode on books.
Can I try and show this?
Maybe. Oh, God, it. Alex. For those of you listening, Alex just took his pants off.
Don't act like you're not impressed. All right, this will be the new life alert.
Yeah, hit us with it.
Oh, are you teasing it? Early reveal?
It's just us. Just spoiler alert.
And 6 peoples.
I'm the only one watching it.
In a region.
Hold on. Share screen. Blah, blah, blah.
Life alert person of the week is just Ben and I looking at ourselves.
it's just me. I'm the life alert. All right, ready?
Oh, geez. This could be. Oh, wow. Whoa. Did you make that? That was crazy.
That was an AI that somebody made this week. It was going around on Twitter, so I swiped it, made it our own.
Wow.
All right, guys.
For those of you listening, I forgot. You just it basically shows
in the world.
Jurgen Klopp as Slippy G. Anyway, we'll debut it for Nate.
Hey, do you guys think we'll have TikTok by the time we're back next week?
Did we not have it? I thought we had it.
We just showed a TikTok video.
Yeah. I bet it's gone.
Copyright?
No. We'll see. We'll talk next week on the edge of our seat.
You got the courts?
It's not the courts. It's
the
bills, if you will. There I had a Hadrian's wall.
See you later.
Southern wall joke lined up, and I'm just going to keep on the back line. Ricardo. Ricky Ricardo.